Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, December 6th, the Vic Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening and you're waking up this morning to, well, the first penalty shootout in the round of 16 at the World Cup, and after it finished 1-1 after extra time between Croatia and Japan. Croatia again, they just find a way, really. For a country of 4 million people, don't they? Well, they do very, very well. The finalists of 4 years ago at the World Cup, and they won the shootout 3-1. Some of Japan's penalties, dearie me, but the Croatian keeper outstanding, saved three penalties in that shootout. England won a famous victory in Rawalpindi last night as well in that test match. And, Pakistan put up a pretty fierce resistance until they lost 5-9 late in the final session of the test match to go down. There last night. We got a couple of players called up as cover for Pat Cummins in the test squad for Australia ahead of the second test, the day-night test in Adelaide starting on Thursday. And we've had some Socceroos return home to Sydney as well last night. And we got the great L Daly back in town. G'day, Lozza.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, very well. How was your weekend? And did you ride the emotions with the Socceroos?
I did, yeah. I watched them. I thought they were terrific. Obviously, the last 20 minutes there, you started to dream and think, oh, wow, is this going to be a possibility? Can the Socceroos pull off an upset? But they tried, you know, extremely hard. Obviously, technically, the Argentinians were too good for us, but we showed plenty of spirit, and that's what we've done all tournament. So while it's sad to come to an end, I think Graham Arnold and the team have done a tremendous job. Well done to them. But again, we continually talk about football in this country, how the Socceroos unite everybody. They've got to take advantage of this moment in time. And I don't know how they do that. But you'd like to think that, you know, numbers and more players will get, you know, better opportunities. And hopefully some of our star players from the World Cup may get an opportunity in some of those higher leagues around the world. And if that's the case, that'll put us in good stead for the next World Cup.
Morning to you, pup. And I had the England-Pakistan test on in the background last night, and I actually went to bed just before all the action happened, right at the end. But look, England, that's only their third ever win in Pakistan. It was the third most runs ever scored in a test match overall between the two sides, and it's produced a result. So 1,768 runs scored. And you've got to give credit to England. They found a way because they were hosed by... They should have had an LBW. Jack Leach got... I can't remember. I think it was Salmon out cold. But DRS, I think it's the one flaw with DRS is the bounce. Mm. To me, there was no way it was going over the top of the stumps. But that's what DRS showed. But in the end, England took 5-9 and won the test match. And I couldn't help but think, watching it, you know they're going to be completely different at home over there next year than what they were 12 months ago out here.
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, well done to England. Gutsy declaration to set up a chance of a victory. They honoured their word. They made it very clear before the first ball was bowled that they were in Pakistan to try and win, and they were happy to risk losing. And they did it with their first opportunity. So, yeah, courageous from Ben Stokes, and they got the result they were after. So, brilliant performance. They, you know, up until, you know, the last sort of hour of that game, both teams could have won. It was, again, there was some reverse swing, little bit of spin, but a very flat batting pitch. Saw a lot of runs in that test match. And they did well to knock Pakistan over. They gave themselves enough time and found a way to bowl them out. So Pakistan will be disappointed because they had a chance to win that test match. Even though they were chasing 330 or 340 on that last day. Well, actually ended up being less than that, but in their second innings, 340 they needed. It sounds like a lot of runs on that wicket in their own backyard. You would have thought they'll every chance of getting there. So, yeah, England continue to, I guess, change their style of play under Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum. I think they're willing to take a lot more risks. They're a lot more aggressive with their approach in general. You look at the, you know, they make 550 in the first day with the bat. Now, I know it was a belter, but man, they've gone so hard day one of a test match, and that's to give themselves enough time to have a crack at this result. So, yeah, that's going to be a good series. Australia versus England in England. I think they're obviously a much better team in their own backyard, but they're playing a good brand of cricket at the moment.
I saw Mark Waugh tweet last night, McCullum, or this morning, McCullum Stokes changing the way Test cricket is to be played. Courageous, fearless, positive mindset gets them the win in Rawal Pindi on the most docile surface. I don't think any other team in world cricket would have rolled the dice like that.
I agree.
Bring on the Ashes next year.
I agree with that, but let me tell you what the other side looks like. When you're willing to take these risks and you win and it comes off, you are changing the game. But you lose 3 or 4 test matches like this, and then you're under the pump because your record says, oh, we've won 6, lost 4. Uh-oh. Now are we still willing to take that risk? Are we still willing to declare at that stage? But the way they're going, they mightn't see that. They mightn't have to worry about that because they're finding ways to win. And it is an exciting brand of cricket, so they both deserve a lot of credit.
It's funny you say that because when they had that DRS decision overturned, I was thinking, well, Ben Stokes has stuffed this up. I thought Pakistan were going to win the test match. They were batting pretty well.
That's exactly right.
As you predicted yesterday, that they could very well win the test match.
That's the line you sit on. And when it goes your way, your declaration looks good and your brand of cricket looks good. But if it doesn't...
you've got to wear it.
Yeah, you need to be accountable for it. But it seems like they are. Seems like they're happy to challenge themselves and put their hand up if it doesn't go their way. But no, good on them.
Loza, the Newcastle Knights put out a release confirming what's been reported, the signings of a couple of emerging English stars for seasons 2024 and 25. So Kai Pearce-Paul, the 21-year-old, he's a giant, 196 centimetres tall, more than 100 kilos, a young forward, been playing for Wigan over there in the Super League. And also Will Price, who he's turning 20, I think yesterday or today, who's a 5'8 / fullback. They're going to the Knights for seasons 2024 and 25. Two really exciting young talents. And even though I guess a lot of people in Newcastle lament the fact they're, you know, struggling to keep their own talent there, they will welcome these two signings because they could be anything.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the middle, only what I've read, and I've seen some short and small highlights of both players, but they've certainly got plenty of ability and they've stood out in the Super League. So getting them at the right age to come here to Australia, Newcastle do need a lot of help at the moment, and I think they will add a touch of class to this Newcastle side. The other thing about when you recruit English players, they add something different to your team. The game is played differently over there in England. It might take them a while to adjust, but given that they're coming over at this age, they've got plenty of talent, I think they'll make a real impact on the competition because I know that a lot of sides were keen to get these players to their club, but Newcastle have succeeded. The other thing about getting players from England as well is that they don't miss a lot of representative football. When you're recruiting, the Aussie players because of Origin and other games of football that are involved in during the year, they play extra football. So I think you've seen it with the Raiders have a bit of success recruiting English players in the past, and these look like two good young signings for the Newcastle Knights.
And good news at the Tigers. Isaiah Papali'i rocked up to Concord yesterday. He's not due back for pre-season training until early next year because, of course, he was at the World Cup with New Zealand. But after all that speculation, he wouldn't leave Parramatta. Even when he said no, or he is going to the Tigers, if you didn't believe it, Tigers fans, he was there yesterday.
Great news.
So the Tigers, the Sheens revolution underway there at Concord, pup. Yeah. So got to be happy about that. But what about a potential, I wouldn't call it a revolution, but the fact that this potential bolter, Lance Morris, has been called up, Western Australian quick, as cover for Pat Cummins. Michael Neese has been called up as well. You'd expect Scott Boland to play, though, be the first cab off the rank. But could they potentially rest the other pace bowlers, Stark and or Hazelwood, for the second test starting on Thursday? So Lance Morris, certainly an exciting prospect, 24 years of age. He's the leading Shield wicket taker this season, 27 wickets at 18.4. Overall, he's played 18 first-class matches, has 59 wickets at 25.08. I'd seen his name fleetingly, seeing that he'd been taking wickets, Clarkie, but when you go and watch, he's certainly got some gas, gets up around the 150 mark, 145, pretty consistently. And Jeff Thompson, as we'll get to the headlines, he's called, just throw him straight in.
No, he's not playing. He's not playing in front of Boland. He's not playing in front of Nessa. I think it's a good selection to have him in around the squad. He's the leading wicket taker. He deserves to be spoken about. The pace he's bowling. Again, there's a big difference between bowling in Shield cricket versus playing international cricket. But if you were thinking about giving him a crack, it's against the team like the West Indies, yeah, for sure. Adelaide's a little bit different to... in a test match to what he's played in Shield cricket as well. But no, I think it's good selection and nice reward to have him in and around the squad. He can meet all the Aussie boys if he hasn't met them and be around the likes of Pat Cummins, Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Starc. Won't do him any harm at all to be able to train alongside them. But yeah, he won't be playing. I think Cummins is going to struggle. I know he said he's very confident, but I just don't think it's worth the risk. I still can't believe he was out on the field fielding. So if that's the case, I would imagine Scott Boland will come into that attack, and the other two quicks, Hazlewood and Starc, unless they're injured, will certainly play.
And Andrew McDonald was asked that yesterday on Pat Cummins fielding the other day, and McDonald saying he, you know, wasn't at risk as he was able to manage the tempo in which he ran.
What?
And him being out there helped the Aussies control the game.
What
was his explanation for that?
Anyway. I'm not sure how you're not at risk. If you've got a quad strain and you run, you're at risk.
Yeah, well, that's what I would have thought.
So
too.
I think straight away, I know he was jogging for the ball, but there is still a risk. If he bends down to pick it up or if he does. That's why, even if he was in slip, would have been a lot less risk, but there's still a risk. You've still got to die. Well, and you still move to your left or right.
Ball comes at you at pace that you'd want to catch
exactly
for a wicket.
Right. Yeah.
If you're doing reflex actions, aren't you, Pop, without even thinking about it.
It was strange. Like Steve Smith is Captain Australia enough times. Australia was going to win that test match. Pat didn't need to be on the field. So it was, I'm still trying to work out like why I can understand why Pat wanted to go out there because he's the captain, but yeah, it's very strange. Very strange.
Well, Steve Smith could captain in Adelaide again as he did last year at very short notice when Pat Cummins got COVID ahead of that Ashes test there. So we'll see how that transpires.
Day-night
test,
isn't it?
Next 48 hours. Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Quick break. And oh, by the way, his nickname, Lance Morris, the Wild Thing. Another Wild Thing. You
Sean
played
Tate.
With one? Sean Tate.
Tatey was the Wild Thing. Tatey was rapid. He was quick. Unfortunately, his body didn't hold up, Tatey, but I wonder why, bowling 155 Ks and slinging him down. He had a bad elbow his entire career, Tatey, but, Matt, he could bowl. He was lightning.
I could imagine in some of those, like, you know, less prepared nets, grass
South
nets
Africa.
That you'd play.
I remember facing him in South Africa.
He would have been frightening.
We had a conversation, I think it was in Johannesburg, in preparation for that test. And I think there'd been like a few guys had been hit in the head in the test match. So we sort of just said, everyone said, let's just be like, we don't need someone else getting injured at training. Tatey bowled this ball to Andrew Symonds. Andrew Symonds went forward to block it, did not pick it up. This thing smacked him right on the badge, right in the middle of the helmet, put a hole in his helmet.
At about 150.
At about 150. And Tatey was going, mate, he was so sorry. He didn't mean it. It just, that was the thing.
Just
the Wild Thing.
Off a link.
He didn't know where they were going. Oh, I don't bowl bouncers in the nets, he reckons. It was a rapid bouncer. Took the crest off his helmet. Put a hole in his helmet.
Oh, man. Our man Bulldog with a big scoop on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Don't lose our Arnie is the headline there. So this article say that Graham Arnold, not to anyone's surprise, is in demand elsewhere as his camp awaits any offer from Football Australia. Now, apparently, he wants to remain Socceroos coach, but he's also open to a move elsewhere. And Bulldogs report also saying that a source had no doubt that Football Australia boss James Johnson had met with John Aloisi pre the World Cup. And we had Aloisi on the show, of course, yesterday, who said, you know, yeah, he sort of indicated, we'll play what he had to say later, but he sort of indicated that he
wants
the job,
definitely, just at the right time.
At the right time, yeah. He was.
I think he was very honest, John. I think he was. He made it very clear that he saw coaching Australia no different to playing for Australia. That's how much how important he sees that role, and he would love to do it one day. But he also said, if Graham Arnold wants this job, then no brainer. He should have it until he's, you know, his time's up. So I thought he was very honest.
Yeah, Loz surely the time. We were emphasising it yesterday. Football Australia has to, you know, almost go crawling to Graham Arnold going, thank you very much for all the money you put in our coffers, all the goodwill you've done for Australian football in the last few months in particular, and give him an offer he can't refuse to continue.
Well, it's interesting because they've improved as the tournament went on, and he had a hard task trying to qualify the Socceroos for the World Cup. And you got to remember, they played a lot of their games away from home. It was during COVID. They didn't have some players available. And I think he's done a tremendous job at this tournament and, in fact, just to qualify. So Arnie would have opportunities elsewhere, but I think his passion lies with the Socceroos. I think he wants to help. And I think when you look at the squad and the age some of these players will be when the next World Cup rolls around, potentially we've got a stronger side than the one we took over this year. So I think he started something that he wants to finish. He's disappointed that we didn't go further than the top 16, but I think most people outside would say that's a tremendous effort, just reaching the final 16. But there's no doubt that he'll be given an opportunity somewhere to coach again. I'm just not sure it might be the Socceroos, but I think he'd done a mighty job, and I'd love to see him stay in charge for another 4 years.
And on the back page of the Herald, Socceroos 2026, as it looks ahead to what our squad could look like in 4 years' time, when a lot of these players should be hitting their peak, by the way. Players call on Chiefs to make most of World Cup momentum, also on the back page of the Herald. And indecision by FA may send Arnie overseas, part of the back page of the Australian. And we saw a lot of the Socceroos players returning to Sydney last night, among them Matt Ryan, the captain, of course, and naturally they all gave Graham Arnold a ringing endorsement. By the way, about to kick off Brazil and South Korea in the round of 16. So the tournament favourites, Brazil, who were playing, well, there's a lot of conjecture about Pelé, one of the greatest of all time, Brazilian great, and his health. And I see that his daughters have come out and said it's not as grim as some have reported, but he's certainly been in hospital battling a lung infection. Certainly Brazil will be playing for him, no doubt. And for this game in the round of 16, they're $1.23 favourites in the 90-minute market. South Korea, $11. The draw paying $6.50. And we'll speak to Mossy just after the 6 o'clock news. And just that game this morning, again, if you missed it. So Japan and Croatia finished 1-1, but Croatia won 3-1 on penalties. And Papas, the unofficial goalkeeping coach here in the studio, you would have been pretty miffed by Japan's penalties.
How many hooks? How many slices?
Yeah, there was certainly... Well, I saw one. I didn't see every shot, but I saw one which was the obvious hook from the Japanese player.
Saved or goal?
Saved.
See, good keeping.
Yeah, but the first penalty actually was the open foot.
Oh, slice.
To the right.
Save?
Saved by the Croatian keeper. The lack of power on this shot
was
significant.
Yeah.
It was a really, really poor penalty. It set the tone for the whole shootout.
Yeah, see, I'm not a penalty taking expert. I'm just a goalkeeping expert.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't. I find it. I'm unsure why they go. Even you know where they go the fake and go straight down the guts. I don't know about that theory either. I think they're expecting the keeper to dive one way or the other. But
well,
yeah,
if you go down
know.
The guts, you got to kick it.
Well,
hard.
I think I would think I'd be kicking hard anyway, hard with control. Not over-kicking. I'm not trying to beat the goalie with power, but I'm trying to get the ball in the corner, either bottom left, bottom right, top left, top right. That's what I would be thinking. But like I say, I'm no expert in the goal taking. I'm an expert in the goal saving.
Yeah, I can hear some of our football aficionados listening just going, have a listen to these blokes.
Mate, it's no different than them saying, why'd you play that shot, Clarkie? What a terrible shot, mate. Let it go. It's a metre outside off stump. You're only on 5. Thanks for that, mate. I know.
Willow from Windsor on the text line. The result in the England v Pakistan test match and how it played out is why test cricket is still the greatest format of them all.
Yes, love that.
Good on you, Willow. And it was. Love it was that. Enthralling. Well, I was into it last night.
If you can get Test cricket into day 5 where both teams can still win the game, it is unbelievable watching. And that again, that like you look at the first innings from both teams, you go, oh my God, this is an absolute belter. No way there's going to be a result. And that's a lot of time in the subcontinent, the game actually quickens up. So the first 3 days are generally really slow because the pitch is good. Then it deteriorates and it just goes, you go from there's not enough time in the game for anyone to win to you win on halfway through day five. Like you win it by lunch. It speeds up so quickly because that natural variation in the pitches over there.